It's good to see y'all out today. We are going to, if you remember, right after the Resurrection Sunday, we looked at Peter and how he was disobedient and went back to his old lifestyle, and the other disciples went with him because they didn't think that since Jesus was gone physically from them that they could trust him to take care of him. And then last week we looked again and how they were learning through John and Peter as to how they were needed to do that. And it triggered a thought in my mind about how that is exactly like we are. And Jonah is a perfect example. So for just a few weeks, we're going to look at the book of Jonah and see how he was just like us, in that he is knows exactly what God wants him to do and just makes a choice not to do it. And whenever we do that, we're not the only ones who suffer, but everybody around us suffers as well. So Jonah is an interesting book. You know, it's taken a lot of criticism from the liberals because they say, you can't trust that because there's no fish big enough to swallow anybody, and just nonsense. You know how that goes. And but you know, even in 1998, in the Japanese newspaper in Nagasaki, it was reported a 13-year-old boy was found inside of a 2,000-pound shark that they had captured with his clothes still on, shirt and pants. He'd swallowed him whole. And so it's absolutely, you know, here's my issue on that. If you go to the beginning and it says, in the beginning, God, if you believe that, none of this other stuff's really a problem, you know. But that is the issue. They're always trying to look for something. But Jonah is who we're going to look at, and he was just like us. Groucho Marx used to say, some of you are not old enough to know who Groucho Marx was. Who does know who Groucho Marx was? A lot of you. He was hilarious. If you go back in the black and white days, when was he, in the 50s prior? I guess he was the true, would you call him a stand-up comedian? I guess that's what it was. Had eyelashes about this thick all the way across his face. So if you see a picture, you'll know that's him. But he was a jokester by far. And he said, he was talking to someone, and someone said, yeah, I'm from Wales. And he said, Wales? He said, Jonah lived in Wales. Did you ever know him? Oh, mercy. Jonah. We're going to read all the first chapter real quick. And I'm reading it from a relatively new translation. Holman Bible Dictionary has printed a new translation, and actually some of the guys that worked on it were some of our professors, so I trust it. It's just a little more contemporary, not as much as NIV, not quite as wooded as the older King James, but a good translation. But first, did we get the sound working on this thing, Mr. Robert? You ready? I want to remind you of something. See if we got it. Got any more? Oi. I picture Jonah just like that. Run, Forrest, run. Surely all of you saw that movie, right? That's what I think about when I think about Jonah. Instead of run, Forrest, run, it was run, Jonah, run. And even though Forrest could get away, Jonah couldn't. And that's exactly what we're going to see as we start. Jonah the fugitive, running from obedience. Now, I took off the actual numerics, so I'm just going to read through the whole thing, okay? It says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, and said, get up, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because their wickedness has confronted me. However, Jonah got up to flee to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. Then the Lord hurled a violent wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose on the sea that the ship threatened to break apart. The sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they threw the ship's cargo into the sea to lighten the load. Meanwhile, Jonah had gone down to the lowest part of the vessel and had stretched out and fallen into a deep sleep. So the captain approached him and said, why are you doing this? What are you doing asleep? Get up. Call on your God. Call to your God. Maybe this God will consider us and we won't perish. Come on, the sailors said to each other. Let's cast lots then we'll know who's to blame for this trouble we're in. So they cast lots, and the lot singled out Jonah. And they said to him, tell us, who is to blame for this trouble we're in? What is your business, and where are you from? What is your country, and what people are you from? And he answered them vaguely. He didn't say, I'm a prophet run from God to start with. I'm a Hebrew. I worship Yahweh, the God of the heavens, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were even more afraid and said to him, what is this you've done? The men knew he was fleeing from the Lord's presence because he had told them. Evidently, prior to this event, getting on the boat, they did know something that he was running from God. So they said to him, what should we do to calm the sea that's against us? For the sea was getting worse and worse. And so he answered them, and he said, pick me up and throw me into the sea so it may quiet down for you. For I know that I'm the blame for this violent storm that is against you. Ain't that amazing? But what does he do? He runs quickly and repents, right? Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they couldn't because the sea was raging against them more and more. So they called out to Jonah's God. Boy, this is an indictment. Whenever the lost people can see God, what God's doing, and they call out to him and we don't, who are even supposed to be his own. So they called out to Lord, please Yahweh, singling out his God over their pagan gods, okay? They called out to Jonah's God and said, don't let us perish because of this man's life, and don't charge us with innocent blood. For you, Yahweh, have done as you please, just as you pleased. Then they picked up Jonah and they threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. The men feared the Lord even more, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and they made vows. Now the Lord, not valves, vows. What did I say, vows? They didn't make valves, they made vows. Now the Lord had appointed a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, Jonah, as we're going to see, knew exactly what he was supposed to do, but he didn't want to do it. So he ran, and it's the very same thing, whether it's a mission project or whatever God's calling you to do as a father or a mother or a child or whatever. When God is specific about what we are supposed to do and it's clear, and then we run from it, we're just like Jonah. And it endangers everybody, just like Jonah did. You know, you hear all these stories of what's going on, especially if you've been in a secular system, and if this ever came up, they would laugh at you if they found out you believed that Jonah was a real person. You know, Jesus believed he was a real person. Isn't it Matthew chapter 12, verses what in there, where Jesus himself said, as Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days, so will I be, the Son of Man, be in the earth. So what does that mean? Jesus believed that Jonah was a real person. Therefore, I think he's, but they make fun of us. They say, oh, no, you know, that's not true. And that's what was going on one day in class sometime back. And this young girl, the teacher was trying to teach them about animals, and they got talking about whales. And she said, you know, Jonah was swallowed by a whale. Well, the teacher started laughing. She said, that's impossible. You know, there's no fish big enough. Their intake's not large enough to swallow a whole person at which they could live. That's impossible. You don't believe that? Yep, well, the Bible says that. I believe that. She said, well, that's not true. That's impossible. The little girl said, well, one day when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jonah. And she said, the teacher said, well, what if Jonah doesn't go to heaven, goes to hell? She said, then you can ask him. Right? Just because you can't reproduce something don't mean it's not real. But that's what the deal is with any kind of miraculous thing that they put question marks over. Just because they can't reproduce it, they say, well, can't be trusted. All right, let's look at this quickly. The thing we're supposed to do. Now, the word of the Lord, without question, Jonah knew what he was supposed to do. Just like God's word is just as true as if Jesus were to stand up here and read, say what I'm reading. Just as true. So you and I absolutely know more than we're already doing. So when we say we know something, all of us know something, especially if we're supposed to be his own. If we're supposed to be a follower of Christ, there's some things we know without question that we're supposed to do. Is that a given? So nobody can sit in there and say, well, Now, you might be sitting here and say, well, I'm not exactly sure what all God wants me to do. So you might be in the start or the middle of finding that out. But it's not like it's a science. You know, a lot of things in God's Word are just that clear. When you read it, it tells you how to be a good child. It tells you how to be a good parent. It tells you how to do your business. You know, you can find any principle. So for someone to say, well, I don't know, there are some things you absolutely know more than we're already doing. He knows for sure. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Gath-Hepher is where he's from. It's just a little place, 3 or 4 miles from Nazareth, just in that same area. And we know that who he was, that he was a prophet. Now, if we're followers of Christ, all of us, as I just said, all of us absolutely know something that we're supposed to be doing that we're not. Everybody agree on that? Man, every time I think about it, my dad's words ring in my ears for a long time. Even after I was grown, he would say, now you know better than that. When I do something kind of stupid, he said, you know better than that. And he's right. Jonah knew better than what he's about to do, but he's no different than us. Why do we make such a mess of our lives? Because we don't do what we know. We don't do what we know God's Word says. You know, if you'll do this, you know, I'll keep you out of trouble and I'll help you. But we don't do that, so we end up just like Jonah. So the reality is, we are just like him. We know a lot of things that we haven't done. Now, we know that Jonah was a prophet. He's in 2 Kings, look at this verse. It says, according to the word of the Lord, God of Israel, which he spoke by the hand of his servant Jonah, same Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet who was from Gath-Hepher. And in there it tells whenever God is going to save Israel, and he does that. If you read the whole story in Kings, what Jonah prophesied came to pass. And what did that mean? You know, in those days, if you said God said this and it didn't happen, what would they do? Cut your head off. Man, they need to do that nowadays. It'll eliminate a lot of these TV evangelists. Why? You know, everybody and their brother said, well, God said do this and don't ever happen, but that's what the test was in the Old Testament, right? So we know exactly, and it's amazing. I'm not sure, but those two words in the first part of the verse where it says, arise, they're imperative verbs, and get up and go. I don't know if he's trying to tell us something else by the imperative. Does that mean because we know he was a prophet and he wasn't profiting? That's not a right word, but you know what I'm saying. He wasn't prophesying. He was sitting on the couch, maybe. I don't know. Because he says with an imperative, you get up. And then imperative, you go. What does that mean? You don't have a choice. When you and I, as followers of Jesus, see a clear command from God as to what we're supposed to do, what does that mean? We don't have a choice. And when we make a choice against it, we're going to be in trouble, and a lot of people around us are going to be in trouble. And that's exactly what he shows us. So we know that's who he was. He was at the time of Jeroboam II, the king of the north, and was there from probably, Nineveh quit being a real big place in about 600. So probably from 800 B.C. to 750 is when Jonah was a prophet, sometime along in there. And he was the first one, as we're going to see. The instructions that he gave him were clear. It was a word from God. They were absolutely clear. It said, arise, imperative, and go, imperative. I mean, well, I'm going to put my calculator on that and see how that comes out before I do it. That's not the way that goes. It means you go ahead and do it. Jonah was the first missionary to be sent out. You know, let me go ahead and show you this picture. I didn't put it in the right place, but right here. If you go over here and you look at a map where Israel was and where Joppa's right there on the Mediterranean and just right of there, and that little, you see the little wide at the bottom is the Red Sea, and Israel's right down in there. When you look at the map of the world, unless you travel by water and you move through that part of the world, you had to go right through Palestine. So God set up his people and a temple so that when all these people that travel came through there, his people were supposed to be an influence on them. And so, therefore, when he sends Jonah out, you know, this is not like them going into the promised land to conquer a new land. He's sending them to a pagan place. And this is the first time a prophet has ever been sent out to a pagan nation. Why? Who are the prophets always sent to? To Israel, to the south and the northern tribes. He's the first one that's sent out to really do something that's unorthodox from a Jewish perspective. So you see that map? And now, if he walks out the door and just say he takes a right, within 550 miles, he would have been in Nineveh. He took a left, goes down to Joppa, gets on a boat, and he's headed for 2,000 miles where Tarsus is. Look where it is. In direct opposition. He said, God's over here, I'm going this way. And I'm going just as far as I can get away from that. Boy, if that ain't like us. Okay, now let me back up a little bit and go back to where I just wanted you to see that. Where was I? Right here. Okay, now, the disobedient response to instruction. You know, when you have an instruction, either you can or you can't, right? You either obey it and go to Nineveh or you disobey it and you go to Tarshish. That's simple, right? But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish. Here's the interesting part, from the presence of the Lord. Now, as we're going to see, he knows better than to think that he can actually get away from God. He knows what to do, but does the direct opposite. Karen and Keith Miller in More Than You and Me told a story how in 1865, I think that's when it was, 1865, there was a man and his wife, William and Catherine, and devout, they were committed to Christ, and he was struggling with what he was supposed to do. You know, understand, if you've never stopped and really gone through the process of trying to figure out what your gifts are and what God wants you to do, that's the first place you start, because everybody has something. God's made us all in a way that he's calling us to do something specific. So that's the first place to back up and find that out. So William was struggling because he wasn't really, really sure as a mature believer what he was supposed to be doing. So, you know, he was struggling over it. His wife, Catherine, was a great Bible teacher, and they had called her to a thing in London. So he went with her, and while she was teaching, he was just kind of roaming through the streets at night and looking. And what he found was, he said, every fifth door was a bar, was a pub. And he said there was no restrictions. The children could just go in and drink, and he said it was horrible. So when he got back home after his wife's teaching, he met with her, and he says, I see it. Now I see exactly what God's called me to do. So before that year was out, they started the Christian mission, which we know now today as Salvation Army. Why? Because he said, I know, I see it. And he was already ready to do it. He just tried to find it. When he found it, he committed his life to it. Now they're what? In probably 90 countries all over the world. Because he was being obedient to what God wanted him to do. It was clear. And sometimes, you know, it takes a little process to figure that out. As I just told you, he was going in just as far away as he could from God. Okay, now you already have the map. Jonah was not thinking that he could actually go where God was not, I don't think, because of this verse. Because he knew, he would have known this verse. What does it say? Where can I go from your spirit? Where is it that I can run to get away from you? Or where can I flee that you will not be there? I think he would know that. So what is he doing? He's running, understanding that he really can't get away from God.